Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first Declarations of War CSM9 panel discussion. Tonight's topic is industry. This is a listener-requested topic. Actually, one of the two most requested, which I thought was a bit ironic because we're a PvP podcast. So even though I might be a bit out of my depth, I have combed the entire CSM9 candidate list and pulled out three outstanding individuals who know quite a bit about industry and in one form or another have industry either in their platform directly or as a major part of their resume, so to speak. So today we have Mina.
Hello.
Steve Ronikin.
Evening.
And Sugar Kyle.
Hello there.
And we swear that's not Ali Aras in a mask. So I'd like to give each of you guys about a minute to just introduce yourselves to the audience if anyone out here is listening to you guys for the first time. Mina, why don't you start?
If anyone doesn't know me, and I'm sure there are some, I am one of the finance directors of Goonfleet. I run our renter program. I run our moons. I run our money. I've played for several years and avoided such duties for the longest of times, but eventually got snared by them and decided to add CSM to everything I do last year.
Steve?
I spend the vast majority of my time in HiSec making Tech 2 stuff mostly, and I'm a third-party developer, writing a whole bunch of tools, some of which, well, to be honest, they're to annoy people, like the LP store, just to make life easier for most people. And I ran for CSM last year. If the CSM had been 18 people, I would have been in, but it wasn't, unfortunately. And I can't think of anything more to say right at this moment.
Sugar Kyle?
Well, I'm a LoSec resident. My industry stuff spreads across boosters. I do a lot of the logistics for my corporation, the LoSec PvP Corp. I also run a market which involves getting things from point A to point B. I have done some capital ship manufacturing with a side corporation and a friend, and I spend my time running a POS, which is currently sitting idle because I'm on vacation.
Alrighty. Now, I don't have the greatest background in industry. I've done it. I'm certainly familiar with at least Tech 1 production. I've built warp disruption bubbles and ammunition out in 00 and that kind of thing and all that, but I haven't done Tech 2. I haven't done Tech 3. There's a lot of ground here that is certainly going to be illuminating for me. So what I have here is about 5 points that I wanted to touch on. But then from that, we're hoping that the discussion will sort of become a bit organic and we'll have these indie heads sort of guide us on where the issues are in industry and talk about what they see as the issues, where the community is leaning toward the solution of those issues, and how they're going to advocate those positions to CCP. So the first thing I have marked down here is something that I hear from a lot of industrial players when I do talk to them, and that is the UI. It's sort of a blanket subject, I guess. It's very large and broad, but at the same time, when I talk to people and I ask them, you know, what's wrong with Indy? What's the hardest thing? 9 times out of 10, UI is one of the first things that come out of their mouth. So I just want to throw this out there and see what you guys consider the major problems with the UI and what needs to be done. Like, what direction should CCP be looking at in order to fix them? Mina?
Well, I mean, to put that succinctly, the problem with it is clicks. You know, you could stop there, but there's like so many other things in Eve, too much clicking required to actually do anything.
Yeah, from Tech 2's perspective, doing a single invention run is, I believe, about 6 or 7 clicks. And you're going to be doing that on the order of 10 times an hour per character. So 3 characters isn't unusual. That's a lot of clicks in a single hour. And you're going to be doing that day in, day out, because the runs last for an hour. And generally, when you've made stuff, when you've made the blueprints, you're talking maybe at most a couple of days per blueprint. Most of the time, you're talking more like 10 hours. For some things like drones, you're talking more like 3 hours for the manufacturing ones. So that's a hell of a lot of clicking.
And then you also have issues like the fact that there's nothing intuitive about a lot of the UI system. Going to your pods, if no one's showed you anything or putting things together and starting all of your reactions and such, you can be lost for hours learning what moves, what doesn't, what clicks, what doesn't, what order you have to do it in, what doesn't. It's a ridiculous system with very, very, very little. There's very little way to learn how to do it. You just kind of have to guess, which is bad.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. The one time I did try to assemble a simple reaction pass, there was like all these different types of silos, and it wasn't exactly quite clear what each one of them did. So I just took my best guess, and it turns out no. I needed a different type of silo for what I was doing, and I had to, I think eventually I went to, let's say the Eve University wiki actually to figure out how to make everything fit together as it needed to fit together. It's certainly, I've been playing the game for quite a long time now, like 7 years, 8 years, so it's obviously could be simplified in that way. But one issue that usually comes with reducing the click factor is the danger of bots and making botting easier. The simpler a task is, the easier it is to automate. And while certain tasks you could probably get away with automating an entire side of Eve's gameplay doesn't strike me as a good idea. And I know, Steve, you've mentioned on Capstable that this is a concern of yours in a market context. What do you think about that issue on the production side?
It's an issue pretty much anywhere in Eve. I would say it's actually slightly less of an issue in industry, because in the end, the clicking is not the major part of industry. It's the main thing that you have to do, but it's not the bit which actually makes you the money. What you've got to do is understand which things are profitable to make to get the logistics set up for that, and that is more difficult to automate. I'd actually like to see some changes to turn it into a more process-based system, so you can just set it up and then you just let it run. And as long as you keep plugging stuff into it, like all the resources which you need to actually make the things, it just keeps plowing through them. I've written a blog post on this topic, and it's a reasonably long one, as my topics go. For industry, I'm a lot less concerned with botting, because someone would still be able to compete reasonably with it.
So, I mean, 2 points on what you said there. The first is that... just to elaborate on the process for anyone on the process-based idea for anyone who didn't quite get that, what he means is rather than building the item directly, you would set up the assembly line that makes the item, and you know, maybe there's extra who knows what going into keeping that running, but your optimization and everything would come into how you set that up rather than, hey, I have minerals, I'll throw them into this black box like it is now.
Yeah. PI is not a great example of it, but it's closer.
It's about the closest example that exists in the game. The other point, though, with the botting thing, and the botting with respect to anything in the game, not just industry, I would tend to view, hey, we shouldn't do this, it will make botting easier. As about the same level of argument as, hey, we shouldn't do this, it will make it will dumb the game down. In the context where this is something like cleaning up a just horrible interface or something along those lines. Sacrificing active player experience just to make it harder to bot is foolish.
Yeah, the place where things like botting is more of a concern is something like the authenticated crest system, where that could be used just to write a complete bot if it was opened up in if they hadn't thought about it properly when they were opening it up and what was opened up. But from the game's perspective, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, Crest is a bit of a thorny subject. Having been in discussions where we talked about the capabilities of Crest, it's pretty sweeping if they were to open it up completely. I think Crest has a lot of positive potential applications, but the potential for abuse is very substantial and needs to be handled carefully. In an ideal situation, what do the three of you think the proper, you know, as in balanced, secure, etc., the proper role for Crest is? What would you like to see that aimed at, and what maybe don't you want it to be able to do? I know this one might be a bit hard for Mina because he's still under the NDA, but...
Yeah. The first thing that I want them to bring out is the SSO, just because that's going to make life so much easier for third-party developers in general. I don't want to have to deal with user details if I can avoid it. But then with the market, for example, I would prefer not to see the ability to change your market orders, or if there is the ability to change them, have it being a lot more locked down than what you can do at the moment within the game. That's one of the major points. If you can do something, if it's something which can make you money, you shouldn't be able to do it through Crest to the same degree as doing it through the game. Like, at the moment, you can change an order every 5 minutes with Crest. I would think change an order once an hour, possibly. But that's an at most. I would like to see the market feed opened up completely with a little caching on it. So you can go from anywhere in New Eden, go, what's the price for this thing in that region? And get something which will be accurate to within an hour, for example. Because at the moment, people get that with... Eve Central. So right. The appetite is definitely there. But at the moment, we're breaking the EULA when we're doing it.
I agree with pretty much everything you just said about the market feeds. I'd love to have stuff like that. Even the historical feeds have me drooling. I've been meaning to make a project now of tapping into those.
One of my personal interests, just improving, like, where you draw things from. Like, a lot of my market data is actually for the corporation, and with the out-of-game applications that I use, they're restricted in the information they can give me because they're pulling it from the corporation, and therefore it's not the same as pulling it from the character. So I'm a tool user, I'm not a tool builder, I will admit that, but I'm very happy if the information just comes a bit smoother, a little bit clearer, and able to work on different levels than it currently seems to.
Alrighty. Now, as you might imagine, the resources that CCP has are going to be extremely limited. Personally, at least as far as I know, something like a complete industry UI rewrite or a complete redo of the crafting system is probably not going to be in scope for quite a long time, if ever. So, if you had the option to advocate one particular strategy for CCP to pursue over the next, say, two expansions, the ones that CSM9 is likely to deal with, would you recommend more things to build, better ways to build, or just different build options in terms of the actual crafting of items? Mina?
Definitely. improve what we have. Yeah. Improve what we have first. I mean, if you just go and say, hey, here's more stuff to build and more ways to build it, but you're still using the same old UI and same old mechanics with all that implies, that's, you know, suboptimal.
Bit of a follow-up to that. CSM8, which you're on, sat over the ghost sites and the drops of things like the things like the new implants and some of the new deployable structures, which drop in that method, but still use the existing system. Did you raise these concerns with CCP at the time, and are you able to describe that process and their response?
Well, that's a good point. No, it's not something I'd actually raised.
Nailed it!
You know, okay. Hey, you shouldn't put these new things in because they use the old system. processing the thought. Hang on.
I'll interrupt for a second while we think.
Yeah, okay.
Go for it.
And a lot of quality of life improvements, which can be very, very small, make a very large difference, such as in POSIS, the fact that you can go and you can manipulate your items no matter where you are inside the force field. It's a very small change that was a very large quality of life issue, and it made better stuff. Like little changes like that, if that's what you have to push, that's great. If you can get some of each, because people want new stuff. I mean, there's a constant scream for new stuff, but I don't want new stuff at the expense of things that could be better.
Yeah,
That's a very good way to put it.
Let me put a follow-up to Sugar there. So Mina mentioned that he'd like to see improvements to the existing system. Do you stand for a full UI rewrite or little things where you would focus most of your time on?
I had my way. Everything would just be a nice rewrite and it would all be made perfectly, but I don't think that's what we're going to get. So I'm interested in taking what they have as they can, improving it and making it better.
Steve, let me put the same question to you before we move on.
I would like to see a total rewrite, but it all depends on what CCP's priorities are, because obviously CSM cannot change those priorities. They can guide them, but they can't change them. I would like a total rewrite, but I would also be pushing for a short-term fix. Like, for example, the quickest fix is the ability to put in the same job multiple times. Just go duplicate, or I want to do this 5 times. That would be a massive quality of life improvement. Apparently, it's a reasonably complicated one, but that's just from what's been said on Twitter, unfortunately.
So if you did have the opportunity to do something big, would you be pushing CCP to offer more things to build, better ways to build, or a different method of building, like something completely out of the box process-wise?
Like a process-based system.
Yeah, something completely different would be good, but again, it's all about what's realistic. New stuff to build is always nice, because new markets are always good, but it's more not introducing something for the sake of introducing it. It has to fit in with the rest of the game, because you know how much of it, well, how much it can screw up balancing if something new is added without thoughts.
Sure.
We just lost Sugar. Hotel Wi-Fi, I guess.
As is often
the case, other people put what I was trying to say better for myself than I did, especially with the it has to fit in the game part. New stuff is great, but what I was sort of getting at is if you're going to go and be like, here's an entire new class of ships, Tech 4 comes out, and who knows what the process looks like, but is still hamstrung by the old system, I'm sure people would love the new ships, but building them would suck. As for what I'd push for, why not never not shoot for the stars? I'd go for the full revamp. And even if they don't take it in the context of a revamp, you're going to hit big things, little things, and a lot of the little things can, as Sugar said, make a very, very big difference. The ability to batch add jobs is one of the probably one of the most common things I see asked for.
That certainly seems like it'd be a great benefit, especially for dedicated industrialists, so that's their main thing.
Right, and inventors like Steve.
Yeah,
yep.
Sure.
If I could just put in 10 invention jobs of exactly the same type, or even just 5, which is the limit of a regular lab, that would make huge differences to the amount I have to click.
Well, and building the things too. You get out 50 runs split up into 10 blueprints. You can't just throw them into one line, though.
Yep. Would make
but,
big
you know,
difference.
If you want to go a step further, okay, you can put in batches. Now you can drag in like 6 different blueprints and have it tell you, you need this much. Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
So that's how you can take something small and build on it and shoot for the stars.
Yeah. Things like being able to put in multiple jobs for the same line, Like, I've got a blueprint which will take 3 hours to build, so I schedule that line to go for that one, and then 3 hours later it builds another, and 3 hours later it builds another. That would actually make some huge changes to the way things get done in game, because with a lot of the Tech 2 stuff, it's short production runs. For example, the isk per hour for drones is great because they last for 3 hours. So if you normalize all of those times to about a 24-hour production window, they actually come to about the same isk as most other things, which is, it's an interesting figure to see, just that normalized to 24-hour. Being able to put lots in would probably cause the price to drop reasonably significantly, because obviously you'd be able to make more, but it would also just kick the bottom out of that market by probably massively oversupplying it.
Well, if you could plug in multiple jobs to the same production line, how would that affect the availability of slots?
Actually, that's a good question. Although build slots are never what the problem is in Empire. I mean, you can go one jump from Cheetah and find empty slots, and if you go five, you can find way the hell more. It's always the research and invention-oriented slots that just don't exist.
Yeah, that's something I would like to see changed a bit. I would like to see more pushed out into space, but I'd also like to see the entry cost for pushing stuff out into space to be reduced. I'm not a fan of having lots and lots of the Empire slots. I believe in Empire there's something like 62,000 slots for building stuff, and that's just in HiSec.
Yep, and that was a segue to my next question, which was...
Yeah, I don't know what the
HiSec, sort of the glut, the sheer volume of HiSec production facilities that really, in a lot of ways, undercut industrial production at LoSec 00, in some ways wormholes. And really, I mean, as nice as it would be to have things produced in space where it's attackable, unless you took away some station stuff in Empire, there'd be no reason to even do HiSec production passes, really.
This is starting to touch on my soapbox, especially with the NullSec thing.
Oh, we'll talk about farms and fields. Don't worry about it.
Well, I wasn't even thinking that. Just producing the choice to, do I want to build my battleships that I need for my fleet in NullSec, or do I want to just buy them and haul them in? And with all of that, I think availability or lack thereof of slots in Empire is pretty far down the list when it comes to why the majority of production happens in HiSec.
What do you see as the main issue?
Well, okay, so I'd hesitate to label anything as the main issue. There's several issues, and they all add up.
Limit yourself to three.
Limit myself to three. Well, okay, so generically speaking, when you're building something, you need to acquire the resources, move the resources to your build point, build with them and have enough slots for that, and then move the product back to sale point. So you have resources, slots, and movement. Hey, that's three. So an Empire movement is trivial. You can pilot your freighter around AFK, and as long as you don't get suicide ganked, you're safe. And when you're doing big production, there's a lot of movement. It goes without saying. You build 60 battleships you can fit into a jump freighter if you compress the minerals. And that's, 10 million trip per battleship? So 600 million trip. You can get 93 million into a freighter. So HiSec has the advantage of being able to relatively safely move their product around despite the massive volume. HiSec has, I'm going to call back to CCP Diagoras, thinking back to when he was tweeting something like 80% of the miners in the game are in HiSec, and so you've got that massive base to draw on for gathering resources. The other 20% are in NullSec, mostly, spread all around, so any given group will have only a very tiny share of that, and the so-called super ores in the wake of the Odyssey buff aren't really that super when you look at the minerals you get out of them per cubic meter. I mean, tritanium is, you get 1,000 units per refine out of Veldspar at 33.3 cubic meters. So that's, what, 30 units per cubic meter? You get 37,000 out of 3,200 cubic meters of spodumene or whatever. So you have a lot fewer miners and only marginally better mineral density to get your resources. So getting what you need, not going to happen. And that's not even ignoring, not even taking into account the fact that mining is, let's just say, questionably worth it in NullSec, given the extra risk and the ISK compared to what you can make doing something else. And then, of course, there's the slot thing. Steve kind of hinted at this with the 62,000 build slots or something. There's a lot less out in Empire or out in NullSec. There are regions in NullSec that have, you know, fewer build slots available than single systems do in Empire. So, well, I don't think the glut of slots in Empire is a problem. The lack of them in NullSec certainly is.
Steve?
Yeah, slots in NullSec, I believe the maximum you can get is 260, and that's if you upgrade the outpost to be nothing but nothing but manufacturing slots. When it comes to things other than T1 production, NullSec also has the problem of just moving around the large quantities of other materials that you might want. HiSec has Jeter, where you can go, you can buy anything that you need, which you just, there's no real way to have something similar in NullSec unless you subscribe to the blue donut theory, which really doesn't work.
Even then, I mean, you know, all the, you can't get all the moon goo you need, for example, in one place in NullSec because of the regional minerals. So it all goes to Empire. Yep. And then if you want to build your hacks out in NullSec, you've got to haul it all back out there.
Yeah, that's always going to be a problem with this kind of thing. Now, it might be possible to establish somewhere in, say, CFC-controlled space, but that's going to be an immediate target for anyone that wants to hit. So Jeter makes sense. And we're never going to get rid of Jeter without hideously large changes to things, which isn't ever going to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, all that said, I don't necessarily think that, you know, any given region of space, or NullSec in this context, being completely self-sufficient and able to build absolutely everything they need locally is a goal to aim for at all, because that's kind of boring, to tell you the truth. But having my you know, if I could go and revamp anything, my end goal would be that I can choose to either import the finished goods, which is what you do now, because anything else is insane, or build them locally with resources acquired locally, and there would be different trade. You know, there'd be different trade-offs to doing that. Presumably, you think about it, the local is cheaper, but maybe not as fast. Cheaper, more convenient, but maybe not as fast. Whereas, if you need a whole bunch of shit now and are willing to pay extra for it, you haul it in finished from Empire.
Which is how you would think it should work, just thinking about it, but in actuality the numbers don't pan out that way, because that's how dynamic is right now.
Yeah, in actuality there's no cost advantage to building in NullSec, so you wind up just saying, okay, I'll haul it in.
That's with the cost of hauling, too. Which says
yeah.
a lot.
Of- well, yeah, I mean, I'll pay one of our shipping services, you know, 300 ISK per cubic meter to bring in battleships, and that's 7 battleships per jump freighter, and winds up costing, you know, 105 million or whatever. My math is off there. But it adds 10 or 15 million to the cost of each ship, and it's still more worth doing that than it is to try to build them locally. Or hell, it's more worth doing that than it is to haul compressed minerals in and build them locally from that.
All right, Sugar had dropped out at the start of this question, but she's back now, and I've filled her in, hopefully, so let's have her get her time in.
Well, one of the aspects of this question is I've gone to people who are low-sec individuals and who build in low-sec, or who build and do a lot of industry, and a lot of them do it in high sec. And a lot of people tell me it's not worth it to do it anywhere else in high sec. It's just not worth it, which really bothers me in general with this entire topic. And low sec has NPC stations. You know, we have research facilities. We have everything, but for the most down there, and there's no reason to build anything else because the risk is so high that you're going to get killed moving the stuff back and forth. Or just why would you build it in LoSec when you're going to haul it to Juba to sell it?
Yeah, LoSec has the, you know, it's got the high-sec bonuses of, or advantages of the NPC stations, but it's not even really arguable that it's more dangerous. A lot of the time it definitely is, because, you know, if I'm building out in Declan, I'm surrounded by friendly intel that's watching in every direction, and I know when people are about to show up, and I've got jump bridges that I can take between my refinery and factory if I need them, and LoSec doesn't get any of that.
Well, one thing that LoSec does get, and I had this down to ask you, Sugar, is much ado was made about industrial bonuses through faction warfare and the possibility that that could create low-sec production stuff. Yeah, that was my reaction at the time. But since Sugar does deal with that directly, I was wondering if she could relay her experience with those bonuses and whether there's even a numbers tweak possible to make them a viable way to establish industry in low-sec.
I don't think so. In particular instance, when it comes to bonuses, Dust brings bonuses for doing stuff. And we had a lot of Dust Corps move in when they first did the planetary planetary stuff with Dust in Molten Heat. We had a lot of them come in, and they set up everything, and it was a mess, and there was lots of fights. It was a good time. But a lot of them stopped, and they're not doing industry. A lot of them even live in high sec, and they come into Molten Heat, low sec, to do their stuff. It's not bringing them in. The bonuses just aren't sweet enough for it.
So what you are breaking up, yeah, but it sounds like what you're trying to say is that it's not going to be possible to buff LoSec or NullSec industry enough to convince people who are, you know, just stuck in the rut or whatever of doing it in HiSec to come out and do it regardless of the bonuses, right?
Well, at least LoSec. I can't speak for Null because I don't build a Null, and I never have.
If people aren't willing to go from high sec to low sec, it's probably safe to assume that they're not willing to go from high sec to null sec either.
Yeah. Okay.
But the question became that maybe we're not trying to attract those individuals. We're trying to bring in a new person, somebody who's interested in something different, smaller scale industry, a different type of industry, a different method. So it might be something new that's going to bring them in, but we're not going to get the old people in with just a few tweaks.
You know, I've always kind of taken that attitude towards, it's not just even just industry. You see, you know, that pop up in virtually anything. You're never going to get people to move to NullSec if you do X. And it's like, fine, I don't care. I'm not looking to get people to move out there. I'm looking to improve the quality of life for the people who already are there.
Yeah, we have a smaller or a different and a smaller audience, though. Because like I said, you have these large alliances who are out there. You need to improve the quality of life. For us, it's a matter of having people say it's not worth it to take some of the better gains.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's even if it's a different audience, it's the same sort of idea. You know, part of quality of life is this is worth doing.
This is
interesting to do. So if you know, if you're like, okay, here's some unique and really engaging method of industry that can only be done in NullSec, that'd be a quality, or sorry, only done in LoSec, more NullSec, that's a quality of life improvement.
It is, and that's why we may need to bring in something new, because I can't stand when people say it's not worth it. It bothers me because it means that something's wrong with it, and we need to try to improve that.
Yeah. To go a bit freeform and hopefully not preempt a future question, what started us down this path was the question, does HiSec have too much industrial capacity, and is that why it's not worth doing anywhere else? The conclusion was no. But what the problem is, what the problem comes down to, and this comes up in the faction warfare bonuses that were mentioned, what the problem comes down to is that all the bonuses that exist right now that you can give people are bonuses to build speed, which is kind of valuable, but not I mean, you can achieve the same thing without those bonuses by just throwing more characters at the problem. So they're of marginal utility. There's no way, or to come at this a different way, you can get a perfect build everywhere, and so there's no room for some place to be able to build something better than another place. You know, if you imagine it to put a lower spin on it, if all the rules and regulations of Empire mean that something costs 20% more to build, whereas out in low sec or null sec, you know, maybe the production lines have their safety features turned off and so are cheaper to run.
I wanted to bribe people.
What have you?
Yeah, I wanted to have bribes, and that you could bribe, you know, get your standings up, you could bribe your station people to give you those better, faster, whatever industry runs, something like that.
Yeah, sure. But however you cut it, if there were a means for something to be built less expensively in another area of space, that would be the sort of advantage that would... I mean, if I could build things 20% less expensively in NullSec, it would probably be worth my time to, you know, at the very least, compress the minerals and build with them, if not buy them from whatever miners exist.
So there have been a couple pushes at this over the years.
Really?
And I guess, CSM7 talked about it at least. HiSec, in general, at least the feeling that I have and the feeling that a lot of people that will be listening to this podcast probably have, is that HiSec is a bit too perfect in a lot of different ways. One of the ways is industry. And Mina is right. There's not a very compelling reason to build something in another place when you can build it in a safer place for the same cost. However, there have been two major, not solutions, I guess, but changes that have been floated repeatedly over the past couple of years since I've been following CSM and development issues. And I want to flow them to each of the candidates, and you could give me like a yes, no, maybe a 1-2 sentence follow-up, but I want to try to get all of you on this question. Removing perfect refine and perfect build, or opening up the offices, well not offices already, but opening up the production, research, etc., and invention slots to demand-based price fluctuations. Mina.
Okay, so to take the second thing last, I mean, technically demand-based price fluctuations are there already. The problem isn't that they're not there, but that the base prices are so low that it's irrelevant. I mean, you look at the slots in GDIF-4.4 for building, and they're some of the most expensive slots in the galaxy at like 1,000 disks per hour, which, regardless of what you're building, is a rounding error. So they probably could open up the formula a bit more to allow for more fluctuation, but the base cost being bumped up is really what needs to happen there. Although that said, you know, you look at how much production is able to happen around GDIF-4.4 and still have slots open, I'm not sure that would do all that much. To the other question, though, the doing away with perfect refine, perfect build, yeah, sure. If you do that, you know, if you do away with perfect refine, that then gives you room to have better refines elsewhere. You do away with perfect build, that gives you room to have better builds elsewhere, which gives you room to make it worth building elsewhere.
Perhaps the station industrial guys unionize, you know, they...
Yeah, sure.
They charge a bit more for their wages.
Unionize
and they don't work by the hour, so...
They unionize and charge more, or, you know, on the refined side, we stop pretending that entropy doesn't exist. Or, you know, whatever. If you cut refines to 50% base, and then we're able to step them up with, you know, these stations in low-sec can do better, and these stations in null-sec can do better still, and this Tier 3 Midmatar station has the best upgrade in or the best refine rate around, then if I'm refining things in Empire, or if I buy things in Empire and take them to null-sec or mined in Empire, in null-sec, sorry, or any other place, it's naturally going to wind up being more valuable, and I'm going to get an efficiency bonus out of that. You know, if I can take stuff from Empire to NullSec, refine it there, and get 30% more minerals, that translates more or less to a 30% cost reduction. So, I mean, I'd be all for that kind of thing, because that's the only way you're going to get it to be worthwhile anywhere else.
Steve?
Again, to go second, first, Perfect Refine. I'm quite happy to see Perfect Refine going away in high sec. I'm not possibly allowing people to invest their own space-based facilities to get a better refining, because obviously that's the risk-reward thing.
Oh, I'm referring to purely station refining and production facilities, like PASs. Yeah. I feel if you put the work in for a PAS, you deserve some extra efficiencies, plus they can be attacked.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that, too.
Yeah, with
I mean, fuck PAS building, but, you know.
Yeah, with build slots, I'm less okay with removing, with removing the potential of perfect build, mostly because of new players, because obviously they may not have the ISK to get started. Obviously, Malkanis's law applies here as well. But if the entry cost was reduced, then it might be okay to do, to let them get build slots out in space, rather than doing it all in station. Possibly also a reduction in the number of slots that an individual is allowed to use in station. Like all the companies decide suddenly you're only allowed to use up to 3 slots per person in a station. That, again, pushes it out into space, and it makes it less valuable.
Sounds to me like you could just throw characters at that one, though.
If I can interject briefly there, this is one of those examples where I'd be far more in favor of keeping an incentive to get out in space than, I mean, to be frank, saying you can only use 3 slots per station sounds like kicking someone in the balls.
Yeah, I can see that as well. Sometimes, though, you do have to put in enough to get to a decent situation.
Well, I mean, that's where the imperfect refine or imperfect build comes in. If your high sec stations only build at 80% efficiency or whatever, you automatically spend 20% more minerals, and your hate personal deployables are a thing. Let's just pretend that they make industry deployables. Your industry, your factory out in space gets a 90% efficiency, then there's your incentive to go out and do it.
Sure.
This is
anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
This is the type of thing I'd love to see tied to something like faction warfare, so that war zone control would, you know, bring things up and down, maybe slot availabilities, you know, the refine rates, etc. And then, again, faction warfare would start affecting high sec, and little things or large things like that would be a great way, in my opinion, for it to bring it down, to, you know, decrease refine rates, to have fewer slots, to cause people to look at other options while giving them, you know, more flux over the universe that they're supposedly fighting over.
I believe I
to express the concept in short, you're looking for a sense of terrain actually mattering when it comes to industry.
I believe I skipped Steve's answer to whether or not invention, production, research, etc. slots should be more dynamic in terms of demand and pricing, much like offices are.
Yeah, definitely. The price at the moment is just really insane. It's far, far too low. In part, that's due to the numbers, because they just don't have enough demand to push the numbers up, but the numbers can't really go up enough anyway. If you were going out to a pause, you're eating that higher cost. Granted, your production is increased by about 33% in most cases, but it's not enough for all of it. I'm also not entirely happy with some of the arrays, because to make Tech 2 ships in the POS, it's more expensive than anywhere else.
Some of the bonuses or non-bonuses kind of are a little wonky, yeah.
All right. Now, our final major discussion is farms and fields. Being a PvP podcast, we talk about farms and fields a lot, and its appeal to small gang warfare. But for in order for this concept to work, there has to be significant appeal to the farmer and the field worker. Otherwise, it will change nothing. So I wanted to have a bit of an open-ended discussion on what you think the industrial community would want out of farms and fields in order to make that concept successful. Mina?
Well, so I mean, at the very most basic level, farms and fields is the idea that by doing the stuff that you do in your space, perhaps in actually doing it out in space instead of in a station, you get bonuses to be able to do that stuff better, but someone can come along and, you know, kick down your sandcastle, run off with your loot or what have you. So, I mean, I'm actually changing the direction I'm about to go here. In the case of industry, it's tricky to make that worth doing because of how much you wind up putting at risk. You know, if you get a huge efficiency bonus by building in your deployable factory instead of in your station in NullSec, but anyone can come burn that to the ground at any time, do you really want to put several billion worth of materials out there? Having changed direction, I'm going to have to stop and think about it a little bit.
Risk is the biggest problem with that. There's no real way to push people out into a vulnerable position without increasing their risk and increasing the reward to go along with it. That's a difficult one. Now, if you could reduce the risk so it's not total... for example, I'm building in a POS. I've got a billion-esque worth of materials there. That's a huge risk for me. If I could, say, reduce that risk so my POS gets blown up and my materials aren't entirely at risk, then that's more useful and it's more viable if, well, say I get 50% build time improvements and I only 20% of my materials are at risk. That's potentially viable. It's difficult to manage, but that's really where I think that kind of change would have to happen to get people to push out into space rather than in station.
Sugar, I know you're mostly low-sec focused, but do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, one of the things in low-sec is that corporations either seem to like completely live in their space, and when they do, especially corporations with higher skill point habits, they can make whatever they need. And it's not a problem. I mean, we have gone out and mined in our own system because we wanted to. And I did that a lot in my previous corporation back when the ore sites were scandownable. We would actually go out and we would do the really good ore sites. But because of the nature of low-sec, we tend to already have things. And you have people like myself, you know, who are building, but you're very careful about making sure that you don't ever have too much out there, because if somebody wants to come and steamroll you, they're going to steamroll you. Like, the nature of the space itself doesn't support it very well. But again, it's something that if you're going to try to tie it into a better system, it's something which would look better in faction warfare, which has that pull and that push and that fact that each other is affecting things. But even then, high sec's right there in low sec. It's hard to really justify it working well because of the nature of low-sec.
Okay. We're sitting at almost an hour, so that's about on target for me. Are there any other existing issues industry-wise that I haven't mentioned because I'm not like in that world full time that you'd like to bring up as something that's on your radar for the coming year in CSM9?
Yes. And
go for it.
It's really small, but it drives me crazy that in the newbie tutorials, it's hard for the newbies to actually build stuff in their own stations. Because I just did these tutorials last month and I need to make a shuttle. This is probably one of the most the missions that you have to actually walk new players through in rookie chat. They're making a shuttle. But all of the slots in the rookie stations are taken up. And I had to go three systems over to build my shuttle, which took 2 minutes. And I don't know if we can look at something like a tutorial slot so that they can actually do their stuff. That's like the asteroid belts in the rookie systems. Asteroid belts are always gone. the slots are always full, and the slots are full of things that are taking 2 weeks, so that's not the new players building things, and that just drives me bonkers.
I think it's a great suggestion.
Yeah, it's a great suggestion. I'm going to go pass it on right now.
Yeah, something I really hate at the moment is there's a display bug with blueprints. If you've got now material efficiency less than 5, and there are extra materials which also exist in the base materials, the display is wrong right up to the point where you get the quote. And I have seen so many people asking the question, why don't the numbers match? It's because of the bug. It's been there for several years now. It's only really become a major issue because it's now on one of the ships that you've got to build as part
of the
story.
Right, since Tyrosside put extra materials everywhere.
Yeah, so that is really annoying. Obviously, it's going to be a more difficult one to fix, but that's annoying.
It's not that hard to fix. I mean, the point of extra materials being everywhere now was largely... hey, we don't want people creating a whole shitload of materials out of thin air. And I mean, you can just look at the markets and see that most of those ships have been bought up and used.
Yeah, I'm actually fixing the bug rather than...
Oh, well, yeah.
I would like to see... Yeah, just as an aside, I would like to see the meta around mining being changed. Asteroid belts which respawn in the same location annoy me. I don't like the fact... It's not happening so much now, but I have a bunch of secure cans round the belt, and I just warp to it, and then I can mine, and then I warp to a different one and mine. That annoys me. I would like to see a different meta for finding stuff to mine, which would in some ways solve the issue with a newbie miner, because they don't have to go to an asteroid belt, which is now mined out, to do it. They can find their own little site to go and mine stuff. But obviously that's a completely new set of mechanics. But introduces another job, profession in the game as well, as a prospector, which I think would be quite neat.
I like how our galaxy has one asteroid belt for like almost a dozen planets, whereas each planet has almost, in some cases, half a dozen asteroid belts per.
New Eden is a little weird like that.
That's strange.
I'd like to see mining revamped, although, I mean, in the near term, I'd settle for seeing it just be worth doing in Nullsec in particular, since that's a necessary step for local industry to develop.
Yeah, it says something that the ores which are worth mining at the moment are Losec ores.
Hey, yep.
In Losec, people don't mine the ores.
Right. Well, because even there, it's still, you know, your income from mining right now, from mining ore, I should say, tops out at like 37 million an hour with a maxed out Machina being boosted by a maxed out Rorqual. It is atrocious, and I mean, especially since, you know, this is especially true up in the north. But if I'm explaining to a new player, you know, these are what the things that you could do to make money. You could train towards an Ishtar and be able to, you know, once your skills are good enough, run a site every 20 minutes, and if you want, pay, you know, very, very little attention, and make 60 million ISK an hour. Or you could, you know, train up 2 accounts, one of them into a perfect Rorqual, one of them into a Machina, and make 40 million an hour for the same amount of attention paid. Why the hell would you? I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that enough mining gets done at all to supply the high-end minerals in the game.
Yeah, that also does kind of suggest the work needs to be done on PvE, just so you do have to pay a little more attention to it.
But if you look at it, the fact that this was one of the topics that people want to hear about, and I've gotten a lot of feedback about industry tech things, people want to do these things. People want to build spaceships. I started this game with the goal to build spaceships, and I thought that was going to be the most amazing thing possible. I was going to build ships, and it was going to be exciting, and it was going to be cool.
And you were so wrong. Yeah.
Well, then I got dragged into Losec. But it should be. It should be much cooler than it is. It should be just more hoopla and more exciting than it currently is. I mean, we're building spaceships. It should be exciting.
And just for me personally, as a PvP player who did mine at one time when I first started, my corp lived in Losec, and we would do mining ops. We would do, like, fit mining lasers onto Brutixes and Thoraxes if we needed to, because we didn't have the skill points to mine in proper ships. It's just not terribly fun. I understand part of the population that loves the zenness of AFK mining as it currently exists, but it's not a very engaging gameplay dynamic. You lock something, press a button, and then go do something else for 5, 10, whatever minutes till your hold fills up. There's no counterplay there. You couldn't even really call it PvE because you're not verse anything.
Like, right.
There's nothing working against you. There's nothing you as a player can do with your, not your skill points, but your skills with your mouse and paying attention to things and knowing about the game and knowing how the mining mechanic works to increase your yield over someone that's, like I said, reading a book. And the similar thing on the production side, it's a lot of work to get the spreadsheets set up and stuff, which is something I would like brought into the client anyway. But, you know, you invent something pretty much just as well. You collect the invention materials, and then you click the invent button, and then the game does what should be the most exciting part for you. And it just sounds...
What you're getting at is actually at least part of what I was going to say. For my, you know, last thing or whatever. Part of, anyway, what you're getting at is the idea that there's only so much depth, there's only so much room for you know, optimization in industry, and there should definitely be more. Complexity creates depth. That's a good thing, but it needs to be good complexity, not bad complexity. The sort that, as you were kind of getting at, lets someone who knows the shit out of what they're doing gain an advantage over someone who doesn't because they know it better.
I've just lost my train of thought. The problem with,
we all seem to be doing that.
The problem with adding complexity to stuff though is it's going to increase costs for people unless it massively increases the output of stuff.
We're running into the idea of what complexity means. I'm going to have to go into a different section of the game to give an example of good complexity versus bad complexity. But think about meta modules. Those, as they exist right now, are bad complexity because it's like you look at a gun and you have the meta 1 and the meta 2, 3, 4 and the tech 2, and maybe you have faction variants of it. And the 1 through 4 variations in particular, it's like, why would I use these? They're just increasingly better options, increasingly better versions of themselves. You could remove them from the game and virtually nothing would change. That would turn into, that's bad complexity, but would turn into good complexity if they each had their own distinct, you know, advantages and there were a reason to select, you know, the meta 1 or the meta 2 or the meta 3.
I know what you mean. There is one example where that's the case, and that's with the missile launchers, because if I remember correctly, the Meta 2 launcher has a greater capacity than the Meta 4 launcher. But yeah, I get what you mean there. It's just the more attention that someone has to pay to something, the less people will do it.
I'm not saying that complexity needs to even come in the form of like active input, because you're right that it'll make prices go up. The way industry works right now, it's a very passive thing, and the you know, the ISK per hour is measured such that a couple hundred thousand ISK per hour is a huge profit. So you're right, there's no room for active complexity to come in, but if I thought about it more, I could probably come up with examples of how you could make things, well, shit, your process based.
I guess the real question is, do you guys agree that moving industry and mining away from a passive style gameplay, however you would do it, whatever set of changes would need to be done to make it appropriate, is that the way that things should be going? And how strongly would you push to get that?
With mining, yes. I mean, PvE in general should be more active and should, you know, reward accordingly. With industry, not necessarily. I mean, as we were just saying, profits measured in hundreds of thousands of ISK per hour. That's not going to be worth it if you're having to constantly be there, you know, pressing a button or something. But if you can do what you do now, where you shove the blueprint in and then go away until it's done, or do what you do under an assembly line system, a process-based thing where you set up the process and then just shove materials into it and can do things to optimize that, it would still be, you know, passive in the sense where you're not actively having to maintain it, but would also have a lot of room to be a hell of a lot more interesting.
Steve?
Yeah. An example of what I would do to mining, as I was saying, get rid of the belts and have a prospecting mechanism. At that point, you can control the you can control the output of minerals by what people find, rather than you've got all these belts and it doesn't matter. You can just go belt to belt to belt and get a larger number of minerals in total by just going to another belt and another belt and another belt. If you were doing the something active increases your mineral output. I'm not explaining this well. But if you had to find the fields to mine yourself, that can control it. So you can do the higher output level, but the mineral output in total isn't changed. It's just you're spending a lot less time on it, which is probably more useful for a higher risk environment. You might have to spend a little more attention, but you're spending a lot less time in space where you're vulnerable.
To put what you're trying to say into context, I think, or to give an example, what you're saying is make mining become sort of more like the incursion style of thing, where they're very high reward compared to like ratting, but are more sporadic. So you wouldn't go and be like, hey, I just mined out the large grav site, so I'll go mine another one when it spawns in 5 minutes. But you'd go find something. You'd be able to mine at, you know, 3, 4, 5 times the rate you can now, but would need to, say, keep your mining lasers focused on the highest concentration to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Or if
yeah,
you're exactly. lazy, you could just let them shoot wherever and hey, maybe you get a much lower payout, but you're being lazy and don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with like a missile command minigame, except instead of like incoming missiles, it's veins of ore and you gotta poop poop boom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. One of the new players had a cute little suggestion where they thought they had like probes that they would drop that would show them where the asteroid fields are. And they thought that the survey thing would cause them to mine particular minerals. So they would, you know, survey these rocks and they would figure it out and they'd be like, okay, I only want X mineral. And they'd be able to just, you know, extract particular minerals out of the asteroids. So little things like that were more interesting things that they could do. And then they could, you know, pick, and they could do this, and they could do that.
And yet you propose all these ways of making it more interesting, and there's a segment of the population that would is violently opposed to it because, as Alex said earlier, they like the Zen-like AFK-ness or something.
Well, let them have it. Like you said, let them have their Zen-like AFK-ness, and it's going to cause less reward for what they're doing.
But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like you said.
One way to do it, just thinking off the top of my head, would be drastically reduce the number of belts, but increase the size of the belts that do exist. So maybe there's only 1 to 2 asteroid belts per system, but they're larger. Everyone knows where they are, so it's much easier to get killed there. and then you implement not just grab sites, but like Steve mentioned, some kind of prospecting kind of thing. And people that want to AFK mine belts, they still have the belt option, but it's going to give lower yield, there's less of it, so it's more likely to get out quickly, and they're in more risk of being suicide ganked in high sec, or, you know, killed by people that didn't bring probes with them or whatever in 0-0 and low sec.
Not that I would belt bet you that they would anyway. Still be immensely popular. I mean,
I have no problem with players doing that. I just would like to give players that are interested in becoming better at the game as players, more, and they're passionate about even that way, give them a way to have a leg up. In PvP, this exists, and it's
yeah, not so much in PvE.
You can outplay, right? PvE, it's just not there.
One of the things with that, though, I mean, is it has to be sufficiently enough rewarding that the extra activity is worth putting in. I mean, you know, I'm going to go up north again for the example here. Ishtar ratting is all the rage because you, if you want to, you can go completely AFK. That's asking to get killed, but you know, you can do a site with minimal input for 60 million an hour, or you could grab a Tengu or a Vindicator or something and go do sites very, very actively requiring constant input, but you only make 90 million an hour, and that's not worth it to people. So Ishtar ratting is the main thing. If you go back, Odyssey. You go back before Odyssey, when Talos ratting was still a thing, when you could clear Garista sites in a lightly tanked Talos, utilizing your DPS and careful maneuvering to stay alive, that made 120 million an hour after taxes, and it was all people did. You know, drone ratting was a thing back then too. You could drone rat with a Sentry Ishtar almost as well as you can these days, but people preferred the active option because the whole being on the verge of death the whole time if you fucked up actually made it kind of engaging, but it was also rewarding enough to be worth the extra effort. I guess what I'm getting at is ISK per hour and ISK per effort are both important things. And what we've seen with the barge changes and you know, the rise of the Ishtar is that oftentimes people value the ISK per effort more than the raw ISK per hour.
Well, that's a fair point. All right, guys.
So
I'm going to try to keep this to about an hour. So,
okay.
You guys did not want closing statements, but Minor, would you like to revise your answer to that question?
Well, no, not the closing statement. I had one more thing I was going to sort of go off on the original question.
We're running a bit over here.
Yeah. No, that's no problem.
All right, but this was a really good discussion, guys, and thank you for coming on and being part of our first CSM9 issue panel, and I hope that the people listening here got to know you and got to know the issues a bit better. And
I take it back. I do have one more quick closing thing, just something to point out.
You motherfucker.
Hey, sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't know if everyone remembers, but there was that survey from CCP like 2 or 3 months ago, I think in November, asking about yep. industry issues. So, you know, that's definitely evidence. I know you think that maybe they don't care or maybe they're not going to go for a revamp or something, but it's definitely evidence that it's something that they are looking at and considering and gathering information to do work on. So yeah. don't
I
despair,
CCP
I guess.
I believe CCP was talking about some of it at eVegas, although I missed that one.
I know there was some discussion. Well, there were lots of things that potentially could have gone into Odyssey. There were some industry items in there that were extremely compelling from my point of view, but obviously having not been in the CSM since then, I have no idea where they currently stand.
Well, but, you could tell me what they were, and then I could not tell you where they stand.
I could not do that on air, but I'm happy to talk
well,
to you
yeah.
after. All right, guys. Thank you. Please leave a comment on this post. Let us know what you thought of the format. I'm hoping to do at least 3 more of these over the coming weeks. So if you could tell me what you liked and what you didn't like, we'll hopefully be able to refine the format and better guide the discussion amongst the guests in the upcoming episodes. Thank
Alex,
you very much.
Why don't you share with us what the topics are?
Oh, I should share with you what the topics are. Okay. we're definitely looking at war decks and high-sec PvP in general. We're looking at the growth of the EVE community, and that's sort of closely tied to the EVE development plan. And we're looking at 0-0 and tying that in with SOV 0-0, power projection, and PvP ship balance, since I consider those things considerably interlinked. And I believe that's
sounds
all
fun.
We're going to have time for. At least 3 of those were asked for by our community when I put the question out, what would you guys like to hear? And one of those, the 0-0 one, I just felt was a little too big of a question to ignore. Plus, hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be something that CCP will deal with in the next year.
Well, given how many people are talking about it as part of their campaign platforms, that it would be silly to ignore it.
Indeed.
Producing
Thank you, Mina. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Sugar Kyle. I wish you all the best of luck in your campaigns, and hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
From listening to records, I just knew what to do. I mainly taught myself. And, you know, I did pretty well, except there were a few mistakes but that I made that I have just recently cleared up. I'd like to just continue to be able to express myself as best as I can in history. You know, I feel like I have a lot of work to do still. You know, I'm a student of the drums. And I'm also a teacher of the drums, too. You know? to be able to continue to let what is inside of me, which comes from all the music that I hear, and I'd like for that to come out. And it's like, it's not really me that's coming. The music's coming through me. The music's coming through. The music's coming through. The music's coming through.